I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome back to the Annie Price Show. It's 2 o'clock on a, what day is it?
Thursday.
Yay.
Monday.
Oh, no.
Does it feel like Monday to you?
It feels like nothing day.
Right. I get that because I came back from Japan and was like, what's happening?
Vacation. So I left Friday, whatever date that was, two Fridays ago, right from the studio to head on vacation. We always fly to Florida. This year we drove to Florida. New experience. Kind of kicking around. We need to wait, give a little bit more time from the actual drive in order to be like, do we want to do this again? For my family, we are hoping, we're planning, we are going to. I'm saying this, I'm not going to make it like it's... let me just put on your calendar next year when all of the big news is going to happen. It's going to be when I take my vacation. Sometime in June next year, we are going to Hawaii to celebrate my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And my brother's going to go, his family's going to go, my family's going to go. So I've been trying like crazy to make sure that I save up airline points, Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards points, because I want to be able to fly that. I've got 6 people I have to fly because I've had all these kids and they want to go too.
Selfish.
I know. Like, this would be so much easier without children. They're listening right now going, hey. But they know. It's going to be wonderful to take the family out there to celebrate my parents. Did you guys ever do 50th wedding anniversary parties at like the American Legion growing up? You remember those?
I do.
They were like wedding receptions, but
yeah. We just did one for my in-laws. And
you did?
Yes.
I didn't know if people still did that.
Yeah. We didn't do it at American Legion. We did it at our church, but it was big, swanky. Yeah.
Oh, swanky.
Yeah.
That's different because American Legion was not.
It could be.
Really? Oh, the ones I went to. Well, okay. The ones I went to weren't.
Ryan.
So.
I think it depends on what you want to do with it. I dare say prefer an American Legion VFW wedding reception.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, no objection here.
It's like, let's put the emphasis on the party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to Hawaii next year, and I've been trying to save up on Southwest Airlines points because that's how I make it so that my family can travel. My husband and I work hard to make sure that we budget accordingly. But if you don't have to pay for airfare, that makes everything a little more doable. Well, this year, instead of flying 6 people to Florida, we decided we'll drive. I estimate that it saved us about $2,500.
That's significant.
The whole time we were driving, I'm like, imagine at the end of our destination, someone hands me $2,500. And then I'm like, worth it. But I had to remind myself that a lot.
Yeah.
The kids traveled great. Molly, 3-year-old, she was wonderful. It was funny because you could see the arc of her energy throughout the day. She's in her little car seat in the back. We've got our Pacifica that we got from Cassin's in 2019, the end of 2019. It has televisions in it. When we bought that van, we thought we have to be in the car an hour for those TVs to open up. Because we want our kids to be able to sit and entertain themselves or just think thoughts as opposed to constantly be entertained. Then COVID set in and we would go get in the car and drive around. Our kids would play Pokemon or something. We would just go drive around and we'd spend hours in the car because it was not home.
Yeah, we did too.
So
we saw so much of Illinois and Southern Illinois. Yeah. But it was all closed. So you'd drive up to a park and be like, hey, I can see a fort. Too bad we can't go in it.
Yeah. Well, just look. There it is. So the screens became a little more used due to COVID, which is the case of screens all around. If you wanted to separate people because you were stuck in your house and you needed space from one another, screens did that for a lot of people and dramatically impacted the way we were policing that in our family. But Molly would take a nap and all of a sudden she'd be wide awake, and she would never throw any fits. She was never grouchy, but she just was saying, she was just talking and yell. She'd have her little headphones on, and you got to go buy the headphones that are for kids so that they can't turn the volume up or whatever. But all of a sudden she'd like shriek out something because of the cartoon or whatever she was watching. But we were driving through and down to Florida. We went to Jacksonville. We got to see the beach there and everything. And it's just, it's a long drive, but it is amazing how beautiful our country is. I think when people come to the Midwest, specifically Illinois, and I've said this before, Southern Illinois. Yes, I know that if you go to like Southern Illinois, it becomes way less flat, but it is dramatic how flat. Mm-hmm. If you drive from here to Chicago on 55, you can see for miles and miles and miles and miles in every direction. And I'm used to that. Then you go drive through the Smoky Mountains, or you just drive through these other areas. We went to D.C. Over July 4th weekend, and so we were driving through Pennsylvania and those mountains. It's just like stunningly beautiful to see that. And if you fly, you don't get to see that.
We took a road trip 2 years ago with our whole family, and we were doing the same thing. Like, this is a lot of time in the car. We drove to the western part of South Dakota, almost Wyoming.
Wow.
And
how long is that drive?
Well, we did 8 hours the first day. And the second day was only supposed to be 5 or 6, but we stopped at every tourist trap along the way in South Dakota. And that was so fun. And to get there, it probably ended up being about 9 hour day the second day too. But we loved it so much. We haven't really taken a long road trip since. I think we're going to do it again next year and go to Williamsburg. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Mm-mm.
Williamsburg, Virginia, and see all the history.
Yeah. The D.C. trip that my husband and I took was more centered around watching the Cardinals play the Nationals. So it's like, these are the things, we have to be in this place at this time. We saw the Pittsburgh Cardinals game on July 4th, and then we were going to see the Cardinals National game on July 5th. And then it was so hot. It was hotter in D.C. than it was in Florida and was here. We decided on July 6th, we're like, let's just go to the Cardinals game again. They were playing well. They did not play well that game. It was a bad game. But let's just go again and check it out. But in the middle of all of that, seeing all the history and everything, because there's so much stuff that you just go up and stand there and look at it and take in the history or whatever. It's important. And I really appreciate flying. I think in the future that if in the moment we can afford to fly, a lot of times what we would do to Florida is I pay with points going down and cash coming back. That makes it a little more manageable. But the Hawaii thing next year, I've never been to Hawaii. I know you had your honeymoon there.
Yep.
And you were there for how long?
7 days.
And that was maybe 15 years ago-ish?
Yeah, right around there.
And have you been?
No, but I love island life. That's why we went to Iceland.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Totally
pretty much
the same.
Wearing your mask in all those places.
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine.
Man.
In Hawaii, the heat. Actually, it's not bad there. Never mind. It's the climate's
Hawaii,
awesome.
Hawaii,
pretty moderate.
Yeah. I was going to say, Hawaii has the same average temperature as St. Louis does, with way less variability.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get too hot and it doesn't get too cold. It's just gorgeous all the time.
I don't know if you got much questions or feedback from me being gone. I mean, were these the two most consequential news weeks of our life?
I can confidently say yes. We were talking about this very thing quite a bit because it was so much. But it was almost exactly a week if you consider Saturday through the next Sunday when Biden actually put out the tweet and Kamala Harris became the presumptive
nominee.
Somebody put out the tweet.
Anyway.
That week, I think it might be the most consequential news week in American history. There have been bigger events, like singular events, but that many of those big events in 1 week, I don't know that you could find it.
It was difficult. I don't like to look at politics when I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. I want to be present with my kids. I want to decompress. I don't want to be confronted with I'm a thinker by nature. If I'm reading a story, I'm going to think about it. And, you know, it's not punitive or self-destructive. That's just what I do. That's why I'm here. And I had the news on every day at the hotel. If I got a news alert, I tried to let the headline say what it needed to say. I might click through, but I didn't read many articles. But it was a challenge this time to stay apart from it. And I'm looking back. I'm glad my vacation was as long as it was, because if all of that would have had, I'm sorry to the many kind people who said that they missed me. I appreciated that. I loved hearing that, because you don't want to come back and be like, yeah, no one really said anything. Right. Nobody cared. Go back on vacation permanently. But if I wouldn't have taken as much time, it would have really kind of soured the whole thing. So since I was gone long enough, I felt like I can dip in, I can watch it, I can lay in the resort room in the air conditioning, or you know, we were at the pool at the resort when Biden stepped down, and I was like, I just yelled out, told him to wait till Thursday. It's like all I wanted was every day that passed, I was like, we're closer to Thursday. We're closer. Because if you've been listening to the show, I've been confident he is not going to be the nominee. I mean, Brad, how long have I been saying this, like, since he was inaugurated, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Since he was inaugurated, you're like, there's no way this guy figures it out. Wait, he was saying it whenever he first got inaugurated. He referred to himself as a transitional president. But everybody's like, there's no way. We weren't sure that he would even finish out his first term, let alone be the nominee.
I still think that's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I've said on this show many times when we've been having this discussion that the powers that be in the Democrat Party are going to tell Biden this is what's going to happen. And he's going to either go along with it or he's not. And I've said on this show many times that they're going to tell Joe we can do it our way or we can do it the hard way. And that's like a verbatim quote from what they're saying Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. has been saying about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's messed up. It's super messed up. It is now.
You really nailed this one, Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? I said this before, and I'll say it again since you're here now. I never, ever will bet on a black swan event. Things that are that rare to happen, they might happen, but I'm going to never bet on them because they usually don't happen. This was one of those that they actually, you were exactly right about the debate, though. I mean, putting it at that date looks now so conspiratorial, like, hey, let's put it here so that we can make sure that he looks either terrible or great, one of the two, and if he looks terrible, we'll push him out. And that's exactly what happened.
How easy do you think it would be for someone to tell Howard Stern, ask him if he's going to debate? That was the catalyst for everything.
Yeah.
You think Howard Stern wants to be on the inside of the club?
Yes.
And it's a simple question. It's a good question.
Yeah.
If Joe Biden, the whole debate thing, what did he say? Something about pal? Make my day, pal?
Make my day, pal.
Didn't win that one. The whole spiral out of that one question on a Howard Stern show where Howard Stern throws out there something about him going to debate. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And everybody was like, you are? And then he doubled down with making that challenge. And Trump said, sure, let's go. Your terms. Let's do it.
At this point, you almost think Trump should have said, let's delay it a little bit closer to the Democratic convention.
He has said himself that the absurdity of the date on this was, you know, I've heard other people say he shouldn't have done it, that agree to do it that early. He had to do it. Donald Trump had to agree to the terms because a lot of people suspect, and I don't know where I am on this, it doesn't really matter, that Joe Biden threw that challenge out because he knew that Trump would turn it down. Or that if Donald Trump said, I'll do it, but it's not on CNN. I'll do it, but it's not that early. I'll do it, but we have to have an audience. I'll do it, but you can't mute mics. If he would have had any buts in there, Biden will say, I thought you said any terms, and I'm not doing it. These are the terms, or we're not doing it. And then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're right.
Ultimately, would that be better for Donald Trump? Because for whatever particular reason, maybe Joe Biden still is the guy. Maybe. But Donald Trump ended his campaign. Donald Trump ended Joe Biden on debate night. We sat with a packed room of people at Dave & Buster's with our jaws dropped because of how bad it was. And this cannot be undersold. Donald Trump got out of Joe Biden's way that night. And that is not standard issue mm-hmm. Donald Trump. Donald Trump tends to want to do the thing that makes the headline. He wants to be the headline. A lot of times, in my mind, to his own detriment, But that's the way he rolls. You get it. If you want Donald Trump, you get Donald Trump. You are not going to dictate to Donald Trump how he's going to be. The absolute opposite exists for Joe Biden. He is whatever they tell him he's going to be that day, that minute. And for whatever reason, the reason why I feel like it was a dramatic setup to get Joe Biden out there is because, as I have said, they told Joe, we can do this the nice way, or we can do this the hard way. And I don't think Joe / all capitals Jill agreed to that. Joe, you've got all the delegates. They're yours. We're going to make this the case that they're going to have to remove you. They're not going to remove you. They're going to have to remove you. And I think recently, maybe this past weekend, they said, we're going to remove you. And we've got all the evidence we need to remove you. They're sitting in the Hurt tapes right over there. We're turning them over. And the whole house of cards comes crashing down. And Joe knows that the only way to protect any legacy that he thinks he has is to play game. And he says, I'm finishing my term. And they say, that's fine. You can finish your term.
See, I don't know that I believe that, though, because the media told me that what he did was courageous and heroic.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
His decision. So.
I was about to get really miffed that you were going to disagree with what I just said there. I'm out of practice. I forget that your sarcastic comments are usually what happens in those instances. I mean, the amount, the way to look at everything that has happened is to completely, ultimately, to Ryan's point here, completely ignore what the media is telling you. Mm-hmm. It's all bull crap. It's all manufactured to create an end. And their end justifies any means to get there. This is not new practice for politics. Republicans have done it before, but they don't have the successful control over what the media is going to consistently from medium to medium to medium put out there so that you can consume it. I am the most angered at what's her face on MSNBC. She always looks really angry.
Joy Reid?
No, she is angry.
Jen Psaki?
No.
Mika Brzezinski.
Long hair. Just looks really upset, frustrated all the time.
I don't remember.
Oh.
She
doesn't open her mouth all the way when she talks. I know. I can see her face.
When you listen to... this is how impactful she is on her
like
life.
She talks like this. She just doesn't move her mouth very much. But when, she says she's going to go to jail.
When you listen to the way they speak and the things that they say and that they always end up attacking you. Her name's Nicole Wallace. Listen to this.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office.
What a lying wench. June 18th. June 18th. That's a month before they're like, he's so unfit for office. We're going to 25th Amendment you unless you play ball with us. It's not just that they're not just trying to make the case. This is the key here. They're not making the case that what we see with our own eyes is not really the full context of the story. That in reality, you know, maybe he's slower than somebody who's half his age, but he's up to the job. And we have a lot of examples of how he is up to the job. The whole point of that is not to make the case that Joe Biden is capable. The whole point of that is to make sure that the right-wing, insidious people like you are still the common enemy. And that's what makes me angry. That's what gets under my skin. Because don't pee on my back and tell me it's raining. That's what we have here. You know something to be absolutely true. And they not only tell you that you're wrong, they call you names while they do it to make sure that the other people watching feel comfortable and familiar with their surroundings of how hateful and deceitful the right wing media types and people like you who consume them, how stupid and hateful you are. And none of that is true either. The reason why I've seen this coming for so long is because I don't listen to what people are saying. I look at what I see. And what you can see, and I say to myself, they can't win with Joe Biden. It doesn't matter. If I thought that they could get away with it, I would have said he'd be on the ticket. But our eyes overcome their mouths. And it's too completely obvious that Joe Biden is an elderly man with a poor memory. And the only thing that is out for debate right now is if he's well-meaning. Because I don't think he is. I actually think Joe Biden's a pretty terrible guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's ascended to the presidency through a lot of terrible means. I don't feel sorry for him. He dug this. I was going to say, he dug this hole.
Okay.
It's about 6 foot deep.
No. Why would it be? I mean, like, maybe two.
Yeah, a couple feet deep.
Just, did you see he looked taller in his last?
I did.
Oh, anyway.
He looked about 3 inches taller. Why?
The YouTube poll for today was going to be, do you think there are multiple Joe Bidens? And I couldn't pull the trigger on
tomorrow.
It.
Tomorrow.
I thought it could be a Friday poll.
Which Joe Biden do you like the best? One, two, or three?
Tall Joe Biden?
Six-foot Joe Biden?
Spry Joe Biden. I get four options. Real Joe Biden. Where is he? Anyway. Let's take a quick break. Go vote on today's poll, which is not, are there multiple Joe Bidens? But you can weigh in on that in the comments on the YouTube channel if you so choose. Are you a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Afraid for America's future, yes or no? We'll be right back.
On Twitter, at Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. I am back from vacation, excited to be here, and just trying to get back in the swing of things. I'm not going to say I was nervous coming back, but with so much news, it's hard to take off 5, 6, 7, 8 broadcast days of this magnitude and come back. I have to respect that you have been here. You have been listening to the news as it happens. I'm not going to come on and be like, the president was shot. And then you guys be like, oh my gosh, tell us more.
It's not real until you say it, though.
Yeah. It's interesting to try to, you know, you're trying to jump back into the revolving door and you don't want to squish.
Well, it is tough because normally I would think you would come back in and you'd grab what's been going on the last day or so and be like, okay, let's get back into stride here. But the earth has turned since you were gone. And so getting back into the stride is not even the same, you know, getting back on and talking about, well, here's Joe Biden's record and stuff. It's like, no. All that's different now. You have a vice presidential nominee now, and you have one that's also running for president.
Yep. If you have any questions specifically for me, I can try to answer some of them before we wrap up the show. You got to ask them on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Would love to have you there and vote in today's poll as well. Are you afraid for America's future? Yes or no? Let's talk about that. Ryan, you have been here covering this the whole time we are out. I don't know if the last 2 weeks impact your answer to this question, but would you say you're afraid for America's future?
The last few weeks don't necessarily impact this. My answer is yes, either way. I am very, very concerned and even afraid about the direction that things could turn. We have on one side of the aisle a elected former president running for president. And on the other side, you have a selected person by basically big donors who is way far left. And I'm talking like communist far left.
You have to be more specific. Are you talking about Harris or Biden?
I'm talking about Harris now.
Yeah. The most liberal senator in the Senate, which they're now purging from record.
Mm-hmm. Who was not elected. She was selected by donors, essentially, and powerful people to be the next nominee. And that scares me, not just because of the election, but because of the ramifications of those things. If you have just powerful people who are able to select presidents, what is a democracy? What is a representative democracy at that point? Mm-hmm. And that's where we're sitting. And it really does frighten me that if we've gotten to the point where the media is that powerful and these people are that powerful, that they can just select somebody and say, this is your new person, which they tried to do in 2016 with Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. They yep. did it in 2020 with Joe Biden over mm-hmm. Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar. He hadn't won a single state. They select people and then sometimes they win. And if they continue to get their way, that really concerns me. So the answer is yes to the poll.
Brad?
Yeah, I'm a yes on this poll. And kind of Ryan speaks to a little bit about worries me. But the other part of that worries me is that there's two very different ideas of what America should be going forward. There's one group of people that, you know, in the Make America Great Again, they want to go back to constitutional values. They want to go back to the Constitution. They want to do the things the way that we've always done it, the things that had been decidedly American. And then there's another group that will look at that and saying, if you want to go backwards in what America is doing, then you want to do something terrible because what America was isn't good. I mean, by wanting to fundamentally change America, you've got a group of people and a large contingent of people that are out there saying that America is not good and that we need to fundamentally change it to make it into something good. I don't like that for our country because that's how you get civil wars. And there's not a lot of middle ground right now. And a lot of that is because of the name calling and the flame throwing from each side. I mean, it's not one side or the other. You hear people calling people demon rats, you know, libtards, all these other things. You get Trumplicans and all other sorts of names coming from the other side. There's not a lot of middle ground. There used to be a point in time in U.S. history where you could say, I don't agree with your candidate, but you're still an American. And you look at that, you know, it was just you could come together and find middle ground and we're not there. And I don't know what the way forward is. And it's gotten to the point where somebody has shot at one of the presidential candidates and actually hit him in the ear.
They're questioning whether that even happened.
And the questioning of it. I mean, we watched it happen.
Does it
we watched
matter?
The video.
I mean, you see bullets flying past Donald Trump's
yes.
face. If it turns out, which I don't think we'll ever hear the truth of the matter, if it turns out that he got hit in the ear by glass or some shrapnel from something that else that was hit by a bullet, it doesn't matter mm-mm. at all. That there was a person in a position firing upon the former president of the United States, potential next president of the United States, with intent to kill.
Right.
That happened. Donald Trump is alive today, without question in my mind, because of divine intervention. We are blessed that he lived through that, but we also have to have our eyes wide open that the intention of that act was that he wouldn't be here today. And then our party would be in a level of chaos that the Democrat Party is somewhat in a level of chaos right now. Kamala Harris is not the nominee yet.
Yeah, she's not.
I anticipate that will be the outcome, but we don't know that. And in my mind, the period now until, what is it, like a week and a half or so from today, when the Democrats had their convention, is the trial period. How do people react? What kind of support do you get? What kind of money do we make? It's like, it's yours to lose. And she could lose it in this amount of time if the Democrats decide that's what they want to do. That's the position they've put them in, to have a selection, not an election. That's what the Democrats have chosen. These are the people who say that if you vote for Republicans, if you vote for Donald Trump, you're voting for the end of democracy. I don't think that they understand what democracy means, specifically not what a republic means. When I have to think about the question, if I'm afraid for America's future, the initial answer is yes. And it lies completely on the media that fear exists. Because if the media were doing its true task, they would be exposing truth. We would have answers to some. I mean, the amount of ridiculousness that exists in some of the questions that people are asking themselves. People are legitimately asking the question, like, are there multiple Joe Bidens? And there are enough things out there that suggest that Joe Biden has been managed and puppeted through his administration, that he isn't calling the shots. The extreme nature with which the left in the media has gaslit. Going back to that Nicole Wallace clip that was in the middle, it was June 18th, that she was saying that the idea that Joe Biden is somehow or another not up to the job through going to Corinne Jean-Pierre's cheap fakes, manipulated video and audio, that that means that if you saw that and you believe that, you are insidious. That's the reality that exists right now, and that's what scares me, because we don't have a handshake agreement in a bipartisan way to tell the truth. And the only way to kill the greatest experiment in country building that has ever existed on the face of the planet is to deny truth and to prioritize power over truth. And there are people who have sold their hearts and souls to the idea of prioritizing this power. So you're going to need to have people who are willing to fight to get to the truth. And the truth is going to be ugly. The truth, whatever truths come out, they're not, truth is not Republican. Truth is not conservative. It just is. It doesn't have a lean. It doesn't have a bent. Truth is. You can't have your truth and I have my truth. You can have your opinion and I can have my opinion. And if it's both based on fact and truth, then there's a conversation that should be had, because that's how you can persuade one another. But when you look at something and you see one thing and I see another because of the channels that we choose to tune into, we can't have confidence that what comes next in this country is going to be what's best for the country, because we truly live in different realities. So my initial answer to this question, being fearful for America's future, is yes, I am. But at the same time, if you look at the arc of what the United States has gone through, the challenges that the United States has met, and the way that America in the past has overcome these challenges for the better every single time, if this is the growth opportunity that America has to go through, we just need to make sure that we have enough people fighting for truth, not for Republicans, not for Democrats, but for truth, and being willing to see that truth, even when it doesn't necessarily go 100% your way, to be resolved in the idea that truth is the most important thing that we need to seek out. I'm not on TikTok personally, but the TikTok videos I see on Twitter or wherever they pop up, these people who are losing their minds, we have amplified mental illness. We have spotlighted people who are suffering for certain different things and tried to tell them that the thing that they're suffering from is normal and good, instead of trying to help these people. And then going back to what Tammy Bruce was talking about at 1225 on the show with us, with her new book, you create the oppressed and the oppressors. And then you monetize that. You use that to gain power. You don't use it to fix the problem. You don't use those truths to actually remedy something for someone that provides them an escape from that thing that they're suffering from. All you do is say, I see you. And you tell them that you notice this thing about them, and then you tell them over and over and over and over again that they are victims. But you never provide them the support and the confidence to show them that they can truly have strength in the midst of whatever they're suffering from. Because if they were to overcome it, then the left would no longer be able to manipulate it for their own retention of power. I actually see a lot of people coming out of the woodwork right now, more interested in truth. And it's like the consequence of wanting to see and live in the idea of what is real. The downstream consequence of that is to not vote for more of the same, is to get the Joe Biden apparatus, whatever that looks like, out. And if that means Trump, fine. I think Hulk Hogan, the way he spoke about having supported Trump for so long, but it got, Donald Trump was shot, and he's like, I can't sit on the sidelines anymore. That's the spirit that's going into November that gives me hope for the future. And hope is the antithesis of fear. So I think there's a lot of good to come. Participate in the good and push away the bad. The things about elections and news and everything that grate on you, that make you scared, push it away and replace it with something that gives you hope, and share that. And you don't really have a need for hope if fear doesn't exist. So fear can be a driving motivator. Use it for something that is good and share it with people. Because if we don't share it with people, they'll never know anything different than what the left has been pushing on them and pushing on them and pushing on them in their deceitful coverage of the news over the last way longer than 4 years, 20 years. Let's take a quick break. We'll get to the results of the poll when we come back. I see a couple questions that have come on about my vacation or just whatever, my reaction to some news. I can answer a few of those when we come back as well on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can go vote. Are you afraid for America's future? Yes or no? Or you can leave a comment or a question. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. I'm very glad to be back from vacation, back with you here on the air. And, you know, I try to take one really good break in the summer and then the Christmas break. And then anything else that I take in between that is usually because I got to go take a kid somewhere. So I'm back. I'm back with you for like until Christmas. Christmas is right around the corner. Do you realize that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I already got my tree up.
Did you take it down?
No.
Okay. You're just on the verge of being early.
He's taking it, put it up, taking it down, and putting it back up in case for the next Christmas.
Right. Right. Because it's one of those events that I'm like, I think this will probably come around again in December. You know what? We'll just leave it there.
You never know. The world could end before then.
True.
Did you see the Yellowstone explosion?
Yeah.
I just saw the video. What's that about?
Brad explained it to me, so you could probably do better.
I explained it to you?
Yeah, you did. Yesterday.
Basically, that's Biscuit Basin, and there was
Alec Burleson?
What's that? Yeah, not Burleson. Biscuit Basin, not Biscuit Burleson. But that's the, what do they call it, the Sapphire Pool, and it's by Steamboat, and it's just some, Steamboat's one of the geysers in Yellowstone, and it's just some
guys.
Hydrothermic energy below the ground.
He's the bouncer at the bar Alec Burleson's DJing for, you know, Biscuit.
DJ Biscuits.
Well, he blew up yesterday.
Steamboat is a great name for a bouncer.
It's just hydrothermic energy that exploded
That's what
out
he
the
uses
ground.
To get you out of the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're under 21. Like, look out for hydrothermic energy.
And not in the mood.
From Steamboat Biscuit.
Steamboat and Biscuit are two different people.
Oh, they're two different people. Okay.
Biscuit is Alec Burleson. Are you familiar with this story? That's a no.
A little? it sounds familiar?
So, no, you're just saying this right now, so you're covering.
It's in one of my books on my shelf that I haven't gotten to
It
yet.
Isn't.
You sure?
Yes. It just happened.
Okay.
It's not in print. Alec Burleson hit a home run, rounded third base, where the Cardinals were in the dugout there, and he puts his fist in the air.
I do know this.
And he puts his hand over his ear. Why? Because Alec Burleson, in a prior life, was apparently a rapper DJ.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. He went by the name of Biscuit.
Now I'm
Everything's
educated.
Starting to come together.
Because I thought this was all related to Matt Carpenter doing it.
Matt Carpenter only did it in response to Alec Burleson, the home run, and they all did this. And it looks a lot like, here you've got Donald Trump pumping his fist in the air and the most BA move of a politician that I've ever seen. Fist in the air, blood on his face, and he's yelling, fight, fight, fight. And the Cardinals, in a very, is it unfortuitous? Is that the word? Burleson's rounding third on a home run with his fist in the air and his hand over his ear. And the Cardinals are doing it back. And they're like, oh, the Cardinals are all in on the Trump celebration. And that's what Keith Olbermann was like. Cancel the you don't get to freaking cancel the Cardinals, Keith Olbermann, you angry old coot. It makes me so mad. Like, Keith Olbermann cannot be more loudly dumb. But then he does something louder and dumber. And I'm like, I was wrong again with Keith Olbermann. He wants to cancel the Cardinals because Alec Burleson was a DJ rapper named Biscuit. And they've been doing this before Trump got shot. And then I blame conservative influencers on Twitter for trying to push this out there. And so people just, it's just a reminder to everybody, like, don't immediately react to what you see on Twitter. Just do some research first. Because I saw it and I'm like, I messaged my people and I'm like, oh my God, is this real? And they're like, I don't think so. And then it turned out Matt Carpenter came out and they're like, no, Biscuit, DJ, whatever. But people don't want to believe it. They're just like, no, they like Trump. Okay. And I'm like, they probably do like Trump, but this wasn't about that.
I understand more now because I did get all of my news. This is where I fell short. I got all of my news from Keith Olbermann, as usual. And
you are so full of crap today.
And I canceled the Cardinals.
It's good to have you back.
And
you
now
can bring
here
them back
we are.
In. You can be a
and
fan again.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad because I had canceled them. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a group of people who would be more of a fan if that were the case, but the Cardinals are not out there doing collective Trump celebrations. Meanwhile, I don't know this to be true, but I bet a lot of them will vote for him. I think like 90% of MLB players are conservative or something like that.
Okay.
That's not what that was. That's not what that was. On the YouTube live chat today, are you afraid for America's future? Yes, 80%. No, 20%. So there's a lot of fear out there. Find hope and start by saying a prayer. It's the best way. It's the best medication. It's the only thing that really matters. So glad to be back. Thank you for welcoming me back. Thank you for missing me, for those who did. And you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Good to be back. Mark Reardon, up next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon. I'm very glad to be back from vacation, back with you here on the air. And, you know, I try to take one really good break in the summer and then the Christmas break. And then anything else that I take in between that is usually because I got to go take a kid somewhere. So I'm back. I'm back with you for, like, until Christmas. Christmas is right around the corner. Do you realize that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I already got my tree up.
Did you take it down?
No.
Okay. You're just on the verge of being early.
He's taking it, put it up, taking it down, and putting it back up in case for the next Christmas.
Right, right. Because it's one of those events that I'm like, I think this will probably come around again in December. You know what? We'll just leave it there.
You never know. The world could end before then.
True.
Did you see the Yellowstone explosion?
Yeah.
I just saw the video. What's that about?
Brad explained it to me, so you could probably do better.
I explained it to you?
Yeah, you did. Yesterday.
Basically, that's Biscuit Basin, and there was
Alec Burleson?
What's that? Yeah, not Burleson. Biscuit Basin, not Biscuit Burleson. But that's the, what do they call it, the Sapphire Pool, and it's by Steamboat, and it's just some, Steamboat's one of the geysers in Yellowstone, and it's just some
guys.
Hydrothermic energy below the ground.
He's the bouncer at the bar that Alec Burleson's DJing for, you know, Biscuit.
DJ Biscuits.
Well, he blew up yesterday.
Steamboat is a great name for a bouncer.
It's
Yeah, hydrothermic energy that exploded.
That's what
out
he uses to get you out of the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're under 21, like, look out for hydrothermic energy.
And not in the mood.
From Steamboat Biscuit.
Steamboat and Biscuit are two different people.
Oh, they're two different people. Okay.
Biscuit is Alec Burleson. Are you familiar with the story? That's a no.
A little. it sounds familiar.
So no, you're just saying this right now, so you're covering.
It's in one of my books on my shelf that I haven't gotten to
yet. Isn't.
You sure?
Yes. It just happened.
Okay.
It's not in print. Alec Burleson hit a home run, rounded third base, where the Cardinals were in the dugout there, and he puts his fist in the air.
Yeah, I do know this.
And he puts his hand over his ear. Why? Because Alec Burleson, in a prior life, was apparently a rapper DJ.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. He went by the name of Biscuit.
Now I'm
Everything's
educated.
Starting to come together.
Because I thought this was all related to Chris or Matt Carpenter doing it.
Matt Carpenter only did it in response to Alec Burleson, the home run, and they all did this. And it looks a lot like, here you've got Donald Trump pumping his fist in the air, and the most BA move of a politician that I've ever seen. Fist in the air, blood on his face, and he's yelling, fight, fight, fight. And the Cardinals, in a very, is it unfortuitous? Is that the word? Burleson's rounding third on a home run with his fist in the air and his hand over his ear, and the Cardinals are doing it back, and they're like, oh, the Cardinals are all in on the Trump celebration. And that's what Keith Olbermann was like. Cancel the you don't get to freaking cancel the Cardinals, Keith Olbermann, you angry old coot. It makes me so mad. Like, Keith Olbermann cannot be more loudly dumb. But then he does something louder and dumber. And I'm like, I was wrong again with Keith Olbermann. He wants to cancel the Cardinals because Alec Burleson was a DJ rapper named Biscuit. And they've been doing this before Trump got shot. And then I blame conservative influencers on Twitter for trying to push this out there. And so people just, it's just a reminder to everybody, like, don't immediately react to what you see on Twitter. Just do some research first. Because I saw it and I'm like, I messaged my people and I'm like, oh my God, is this real? And they're like, I don't think so. And then it turned out Matt Carpenter came out and they're like, no, Biscuit, DJ, whatever. But people don't want to believe it. They're just like, no, they like Trump. Okay. And I'm like, they probably do like Trump, but this wasn't about that.
I understand more now because I did get all of my news. This is where I fell short. I got all of my news from Keith Olbermann, as usual. And
you are so full of crap today.
And I canceled the Cardinals.
It's good to have you back.
And
you
now
can bring
here
them back
we are.
In. You can be a fan again.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad because I had canceled them, yeah.
Yeah, there's a group of people who would be more of a fan if that were the case, but the Cardinals are not out there doing collective Trump celebrations. Meanwhile, I don't know this to be true, but I bet a lot of them will vote for him. I think like 90% of MLB players are conservative or something like that.
Okay.
But that's not what that was. That's not what that was. On the YouTube live chat today, are you afraid for America's future? Yes, 80%. No, 20%. So there's a lot of fear out there. Find hope and start by saying a prayer. It's the best way. It's the best medication. It's the only thing that really matters. So glad to be back. Thank you for welcoming me back. Thank you for missing me, for those who did. And you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Good to be back. Mark Reardon, up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.